Benjamin Franklin was a brilliant, often vain man who liked to play the role of the avuncular everyman. He helped to demonstrate that electricity could be captured and used. He devised bifocals. But despite his contributions to science, he's been viewed as a poor mathematician. Paul Paslas, who teaches math at Villanova University in Pennsylvania, looks at Mr. Franklin's math skills in a new biography that's called Benjamin Franklin's Numbers. Of course, we outsourced the reading to our own math guy, Keith Devlin of Stanford University, who joins us from the studios there. Keith, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course, he didn't spend much time in school, so his math had to be self-taught.
Yeah, and in fact, this, I think, is where this story came about that he wasn't good at mathematics, because he actually, in his autobiography, he wrote about his schooling, and I'll quote, "I acquired fair writing pretty soon, but I failed in the arithmetic and made no progress in it."
As you read the words of Franklin, or have read this new biography called Benjamin Franklin's Numbers, do you, Keith, reading this as a mathematician, apprehend some mathematical knowledge on Franklin's part?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a couple of great examples. Franklin had a lifelong interest in magic squares. Now, they go back thousands of years, but they're a sort of numerical precursor to Sudoku. The idea is you enter numbers into a rectangle, into a square grid, a 3x3 or a 4x4, and you have to do them so that every row and every column and every major diagonal all add up to the same number. Now, to the outsider, these look like just doodling with numbers, but in fact, to construct one of those things, you have to get deep into the mathematics and into the patterns. And Franklin did, in his lifetime, spend a lot of time constructing these things, and you can only do that if you have a certain deep feeling for numbers. The other example is what we find in his political and business writings. He was very early, much earlier than many other people, in realising that you could use what we would now call basic statistics in order to make political and business decisions.
Of course, it's Jefferson who's usually adjudged to be the great ranking intellect among that group of men and women.
Yeah,
called the Founding Fathers.
Right.
I was figuring Dolly Madison in there too, and surely some others. But
yeah.
But people have suggested over the years that Franklin was perhaps the intellectual heavyweight of that group.
Yeah, and there's one or two examples of that one. Certainly, Franklin, he wrote an article in, let's see, I made a note of it here, in 1751 called Observations Concerning the Increase of Mankind and the Peopling of Countries. And that was really one of the first ever works in what we now call demographics, using mathematical techniques to look at how populations grow and how people move and how societies develop. In fact, Franklin was the first person who speculated that populations probably increase exponentially. Now, we always associate that with Thomas Malthus, who was the one that demonstrated that. But in fact, Malthus had already read Franklin's work and cited it when he did his work. So, and now that you've mentioned Jefferson, the other example that I think is interesting, and this is somewhat speculative, but Paslas makes this speculation in his book. We know that Franklin had a copy of Euclid's classic geometry textbook Elements. Now, what Euclid did in Elements was show how you could develop mathematical truths, starting with axioms, which mathematicians always describe as self-evident truths. Now, if you look at Thomas Jefferson's first draft of the Declaration of Independence, what it says is, "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable, that all men are created equal." Then along come Franklin and Adams, and they work on it, and they redraft it. And that phrase, sacred and undeniable, has turned into self-evident. Now, what Paslas speculates, and I think this is a reasonable speculation, mm-hmm. is that influenced by the way that mathematics builds sure truths on self-evident assumptions, he thought it would be great if a nation was founded on axioms, i.e. self-evident truths.
January 17th is his birthday, right?
Absolutely. And as a mathematician, I now have an extra reason to celebrate his birthday.
Keith, thanks so much.
Okay, my pleasure, Scott.
Keith Devlin, our master mathematician friend from Stanford University.